Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We're here to say thank you, Lord Jesus. We declare and decree this morning that as we go to the word, our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of your word. There is no confusion as God's word is taught this morning. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Are we here this morning? Yes, so we've been dealing with a very interesting topic. What's that topic? Beautiful generosity, God's divine plan. You know, it's always difficult to talk about money without it stirring controversy and talk about giving, you know. But like we said over and over, you know, materialism is something that has eaten so deep into the church today. Yeah, what is materialism? When material things have possession of you. You know, there are some people, they don't only own things, but things own them. Are we here? Yeah, there's people that they don't only own things, but things own them. Yeah, so what is materialism? It is what? When things that are material own you. Yeah, is it wrong to own material things? Nope. Is there anything wrong in being a millionaire, billionaire, whatever you want to call it? Yeah, as long as you do it the legal way. There's nothing wrong in that. But there's a lot for Christians that there's a lot wrong with possessions owning you. So you see, a lot of times materialism appears so innocent. You know, it comes across as common sense. You know, do to God, he will do to you. Do to God, he will do to you. You know, materialism assumes that the riches that God wants to give to mankind are material acquisitions. Let me say it again. Materialism assumes that the riches that God wants to give to mankind, they are in material things, material acquisition. You know, if you check well today, it has become the order of the day. But in the real sense, it's actually a gift of unbelief. It's actually one of the greatest gifts of unbelief. And you see, materialism reflects even in our prayer, reflects in our approach to our brothers. You see, I did a post recently and said, covetousness is a lens by which we view scriptures. Hallelujah. Covetousness is a lens. That means there's a lens called covetousness that when you use it to view scriptures, you'll be seeing material things in almost every scripture. Are we together? There's a lens that a Christian should use to view scriptures. What is that lens? Christ. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28. You know, covetousness, materialism, they have slant of tyranny, or you know, what we call it. Matthew 28, verse 18. Let's read Matthew 28, 18 together. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. That word there, power, is the word what? Beautiful, yeah? So, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Yeah? So, where was Jesus quoting from? From scriptures, yeah? Where do you see heaven and earth first mentioned in the Bible? Yeah, Genesis. So, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, yeah? And we've done a couple of teachings to show that speaks about what? Christ and the church. Yeah, so, and Jesus came and said, all authority is given unto me, yeah, in heaven and in earth. So, look at verse 19. It now says, go ye therefore and teach. That word there, teach, is to what? Make people students, yeah? Make disciples. So, go ye therefore and teach. Make people disciples of all nations, or teach all nations. Yeah, all nations, rather. Now, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy... Yeah? So, yeah, in the entire scriptures, the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that is the only portion of Bible, of scriptures where you have name of Father, name of Son, name of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, what do we have? We have the name of the Son. Yeah, at the mention of the name, every knee bows. Yeah, he has given unto us a name that is above every other name. What is the name? The name of Jesus. Think about it. What does it really mean? What got you saved? The cross or the resurrection? If Jesus had died and remained on the cross, will you be saved? So which is more important, the cross or the resurrection? So this is what? 2 steps backwards, right? Okay, yeah. So look at verse 20. Teaching them, yeah, that word there, baptizing, means to teach, to indoctrinate, because he's been talking about teaching from verse 19. He now says, teaching them to observe. That means what you are to teach as a saint who is obedient to go ye into the world is definite. That means there are definite teachings that the saints should have. So he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, as an assurance, hallelujah. He says, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we see that there's something called teaching them to observe what I have commanded. Where did Jesus command the things he commanded? Upon resurrection. How many days teaching? 40 days teaching. So Jesus died, he resurrected for 40 days and did a Bible seminar for 40 days back to back. Yeah, if you check Acts, do you see basketball night? Is there Suya night? Is there Suya night? So in 40 days, Jesus did strict teaching. So it means that if we do 40 days strict teaching back to back, we're just being like our father. I am who you say I am. You just sang it. He just sang it. You are who he says you are. So if we do 40 days back-to-back teaching, yeah, you shouldn't complain. Pastor, let's add, what do you call it? What's this? Spice. There's this local word we always use. They've not very, I say local, it's variety local. Alu bossa or something. Alu something. There's one word, it's not Greek. Well, yeah, so spice. Let's stick with spice or variety. Now, Pastor, let's have a variety conference. You know, Pastor, you know, people's assimilation span is short. You know, Pastor, let's do it, you know, 30 minutes in, 30 minutes praise and worship, 1 hour drama, you know, and minister deliverance to the people. Then when we come back, we just pray for like 5 minutes and just thank God for the safety of the drama and this thing, you know. And Pastor, we can now go out to the field and play Ludo, you know, then Pastor, you know, how this thing, I just like, you yeah, so Jesus taught back to back for 40 days about what he's look at Acts 1:2. Until the day he was taken up by the Spirit, Acts 1:2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he chose. Look at verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. What was he doing? Let's read that part together. You see that place where you see being seen? And you see that part? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So what was Jesus speaking about for 40 days? The things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? His resurrection. Yeah? When you see kingdom of God, you see, have you heard people say there's a difference between kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven? Have you heard people say that? You've not heard people say that. The difference between kingdom of God and kingdom. Is that only Matthew that used, you know, the disparity, you know? But kingdom of God is equal to kingdom of heaven, is equal to figurative for the resurrection. So when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what's he saying? Seek ye first the resurrection. That word there, seek, would mean to desire. So remember at the time, Matthew 6, Jesus had not died or resurrected. So when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, it is desire to see the kingdom of God. Yeah, what's the kingdom of God? The resurrection. So look forward to his resurrection and his righteousness. So when he says, and all other things will be added unto you, he's not saying because you desire the resurrection, everything will be added unto you. You are not small enough to know that everything has not been added unto you. So when he says, everything will be added unto you, so a good way to read that would be, all other things will be added unto you anyway. Yeah, because there is a system. So there is a system God has put on earth that when man cultivates or does activities on earth, he reproduces. The reason why we have the poor and the rich, which we continue to remain so or so, is because covetousness has eaten so deep into the hearts of people. So what is supposed to be for all of us, I put it for myself and my family. Is that familiar? So that is where covetousness is. So it's because of covetousness that we are here. So even if everybody becomes a Christian today, we must have the rich and the poor. That no flaws the theory of once you are a Christian, you can never lack. Once you are a Christian, you can never be poor. Once you are a Christian, you will be wealthy. For Christ died for your wealth. No, it's not true. It's not true. It's a hard pill to swallow, but I always advise people to swallow it early enough because depression is always knocking at the door sooner or later. Are we together? Are we together? So, materialism, covetousness has its lengths. Yeah, sometimes it makes common sense. What did Jesus do? For 40 days, he was teaching. You know, 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, Paul tells Timothy, study to show thyself as approved of God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if there's a right way to divide the word of truth, there's a wrong way. Is that true? What are you and I to do? By extension, rightly divide. So it means that you can. So is it possible to wrongly divide the word of truth and make sense from it? Beautiful. So you can wrongly divide scriptures and make sense from it. Let's talk 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Right? So, was there a grace of God on the churches of Macedonia? Look at that. We do you to wit, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So, there was a grace of God on the churches of Macedonia. Is that true? Look at verse 2. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Now, was there anything called grace of God upon their lives? There was something called grace of God upon their lives. Is that true? Now, you know, Nigerians are very interesting. You are working in a place. You are collecting salary. You use your salary, you collected loan. You build house. They ask you, wow, how did you do it? You say it's by the grace of God. Now, hold on. You know, it's a conventional thing we usually say. Yeah, you know, and it's not entirely out of place, you know, to be, you know, using all those churchy words. You know, but we see from scriptures, was there a grace on their lives? Were they in great trial of affliction? Were they in deep poverty? That means you can have the grace of God on your life and remain in deep poverty. Have you heard people say that if you are a Christian for 20 years and you are still poor, check your life? Have you seen that? Yeah, have you seen that? Did Paul tell them that? Have you heard people say that if you are suffering, check your offering? Yeah, were they suffering? Did Paul tell them, check your offering? So was there a grace on their lives? What was the grace for? How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Dear saints, that word there, deep, before the poverty, is not in italics. So it's there. Are we together? The word there, deep poverty, that means, look at it. Paul did not say the church in Macedonia, he said churches. That means churches can collectively sum up their wealth and they're in deep poverty. Okay, look at it again. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Now, Paul was using the example of the Macedonian churches to teach the Corinthian church, which was well off or better than the Macedonian churches. What did he say? Did Paul acknowledge there was a grace of God on their lives? How did he acknowledge it? By their ability to give. Are we here? Hold on. Go to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. Look at verse 3. Let's see verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That means the message of Christ is simple. Is that true? So is there a simplicity found in Christ? What is Paul saying? I fear lest by any means you are beguiled away from the simplicity. That means the truth of God's word is actually quite simple that you need someone to help you complicate it. Let me say it better. The truth of God's work in Christ is actually quite simple that you need an external person or factors to complicate it. What is Paul saying? I'm scared though. I fear that you'll be soon beguiled or just like Eve. Yeah? True subtlety. Are we together? Yeah? You see, that word there, simplicity, is the word that means generosity. See that word there, simplicity, is the same word that means generosity. It's something that has to do without conditions, you know, without withholding. Quickly run to Romans 12:8. That word there, simplicity. Look at Romans 12:8. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Yet Romans 12:8. or he that extorted on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with what? Simplicity. That's the same word. Yeah, simplicity. Look at Ephesians 6:5. Please follow today's service. Yeah, you know that teaching that says he was poor that we might be rich. Yeah, Christ was poor that we might be rich. You know that teaching, right? We're going to explain it from God's word today and see that it has nothing to do with money. Yeah, so look at servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Look at this and listen attentively. When Paul is writing a book of Ephesians, he's writing to the church in Ephesus. Is that true? That means he's writing to the believers in Ephesus. That means amongst believers, we have servants. Servants, be obedient. That means in Christ, you can be a servant or a master. Look at this again. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Look at verse 6. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Look at verse 7. With good and with good will doing service as to the Lord, not unto men. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 9. And ye masters. Are we here? So Paul wrote to servants and masters. There's nothing like because you are in Christ, you will not serve others. There's nothing like because you are in Christ, you cannot do ourself. What makes you do ourself or not do ourself? It depends on the qualification. Nowadays they are looking for masters, holders for ourself. You've not seen advert. We're looking for they don't call it house help again. House what? House assistant is house help. Yeah, house assistant. And they say you must be a master's holder. Master's holder. Salary $200,000. With your master's, where to go there? So Paul did not say that because you are in Christ, you will be a master. Paul tells us that the churches of Macedonia, they were in deep poverty. He didn't say because they were not paying their tithe or they were not giving their offering. Let me say this. Poverty is man-made. Poverty is man-made. Poverty is caused by the activities of men on the earth. The reason why you are where you are today is not spiritual. So, Paul tells you masters. Paul tells you servants. So, when you are a servant, there's a disposition you should have. True? When you are a master, there's a disposition you should have. So look at it this way. How? What I want to say might not. Okay, go back to verse 5. You might not like it. Go back to verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them. Did he say pray against them? Be obedient to them that are masters according to the flesh. Now, how did they become masters? According to the flesh, what will according to the flesh be? Trudy, I heard something from here. Who said works of life here? Beautiful, yeah? Works of life. So according to the flesh will be according to the activities of men. Are we together? Now, so that word there, it says, with fear that is trembling in singleness of your heart. That means as a servant, you must have a single heart towards your master. Now, this word there, singleness, is the same word simplicity. What is simplicity? Without withholding. Are we together? Yeah, so that same word simplicity is the same word singleness. Yeah, it's the same word generosity. Let me give you the meaning. The meaning simply means a virtue of one who is free from pretense and hypocrisy. I'll say it again. It is a virtue of one who is free from pretense and hypocrisy. Singleness of heart, that is one way. It tells you in verse 7, right? Do not be men pleasers. Yeah, so singleness of heart, one way. One way. So that is, they are real similar words. So it means that when you are having a singleness of heart, your heart must actually have one particular slant. So it means that if you are to be generous towards God, it must be a single-minded generosity. The first day. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 2. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their, let's call that word together. See, when you check the Greek word of deep, it is deep. See, let me tell you, you know I like figure of speech, but this word here is not figure of speech.
The churches, think about it. Let me get to the end before I continue. Think about it. Paul is using a poor church to teach a rich church about generosity. Paul makes it clear. You people, these churches I'm trying to talk about, they are in deep poverty. What did they do? They abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That word, their liberality, is similar to what? Generosity. Can we say similar to singleness of heart? One way? Yeah. Look at verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Look at verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty. Were they praying? No. That word they're praying is now figure of speech. But deep is not. Okay, deep is not figure of speech. But this one, praying us, that means they were besieging us. Yeah? So not every time the word pray in the Bible speaks about prayer points. Yeah? Remember this teaching. Romans 8. Yeah? 26. Likewise, the Spirit of God helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. Yeah? Remember that teaching? That word there, pray, is not to be a prayer point. You know, we use that scripture for praying in tongues. Okay, quickly go there. Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26, quickly. Likewise, the Spirit also, you know the scripture? Likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself, yeah, is that right? Spirit is not it. Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Mm-mm. Tongues is not groanings that cannot be uttered. When you speak in tongues, you are uttering something. Yeah? So with groanings that cannot be uttered, it's not about tongues. Tongues is utterance. That's why I call it utterance. Tongues are interpretation. Is what? Utterance. So with groanings that cannot be uttered, it's not about tongues. So this word here, pray, is not saying if you want to pray, I don't know what to pray, switch to tongues. No. There are other scriptures for that. This is speaking about the resurrection of the saints in Christ. So likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmities, yeah, our weakness. Yeah, he explained in the previous verses. So this is an example of prayer, which is not prayer point. Yeah, lay your hands on that teaching. Go back to where we were, 2 Corinthians 8:3, 8:4. So praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift. So the churches in Macedonia, they were about to give gift to Paul, to give to other saints, and Paul was saying, no, I know your economical standard. No. Look at it. If Paul knew that that was a way for them to break through from poverty, he would have collected it. If Paul was a pastor today, he would say, well, touch it on my hand. Touch it on my hand. I declare and decree, within 7 days, your deep poverty will turn to deep wealth. Ba-bah. Sudden turnaround. Praying us with much entreaty. So if Paul knew that the solution out of poverty was sowing seed, he should have collected it with so much excitement. Because he knows that when he collects it in 5 days or 5 months, what is five? Number of grace. Uh-huh. Five is number of grace now. Six is number of man. Seven is perfection. Eight is new beginning. Nine is delivery. 10 is what? Double grace. What is 11? Eh? What is 12? I know 12. 12 is government. Yeah? Jesus had 12. See, praying us, with them is they were saying, please collect our gift. Not because they wanted to leave poverty, but because they are bounded unto the riches of liberality in them. So a saint who receives the Spirit of God automatically has riches of liberality in him or her. A saint, let me say this way, a saint has the ability to give and give sacrificially. If you are a saint and your hand is like this towards giving God, you are a person who is not paying attention towards that liberality in you. Because no matter how poor you are, you can give to God. But you, ask yourself, since pastor has been saying nobody gets blessed by tithing, let me keep my and buy a house. Yeah, what did you just do? You are bounded onto the riches of common sense in your head. Which is actually in disobedience or negating the riches of liberality in you. So they were praying. Look at verse 5. And this they did. Not as we hoped. That means Paul did not expect it. He never expected it. Right? But they first gave their own selves to the Lord. That means you first give yourself to the Lord. And what follows? All that you have. So, all I have is given to me by the Lord. Yeah, what do you do? You give yourself to the Lord and give from what you have. And unto us, by the way, look at verse 8. Now, verse 8. Look at look at verse 7. Okay, hold the first there. Hold the first there. When it means that they are bounded to the riches of liberality. Yeah, that word there, you know, is actually similar to the word pure. We didn't go there. Yeah, and singleness of heart, you know, a pure heart. Okay, look at it. If we say you have a single heart, can we say it's a pure heart? One way. Yeah, not men pleasing. Yeah, one way. Yeah, so now, Paul recognizes their deep poverty. They were giving with a pure heart. Paul asked them not to give, but what did they do? They insisted that they wanted to give. Take note, were they in recession? You know, sometimes we are very funny people. You hear people say that, no, because I'm a Christian, I don't operate on a Nigeria economy. Eh. When you go to the fuel station to buy fuel, you say, grace of God works on me. They ask you to bring POS, you say, the grace. You spit on the POS machine. check it. Credit, it's credit. Don't deceive yourself. I don't work for... See, that's why I say, there are some... Faith conversions, I'll say it again. There's some faith conversion we call faith conversion, but it's an application of your fear. How don't you walk on this economy of the earth? How? See, the economy of the world, has any of us studied that subject called globalization? What does it mean? The coming together of the entire globe, becoming one market square, something like that. Right? See, you know that some decisions made in the U.S. affect you. Yet, you don't work on this economy. Hear yourself. Yeah? So, look at verse... go back to verse 2. I want you to see that very well. So, they were in recession. That means if a country is in a recession, the members of that country can be in recession. Either in Christ or outside Christ. Now, were they giving now to come out of recession? No. Were they giving to breakthrough? Have you heard people collect seed for breakthrough? Glory to God. So, why do we give? Do we give to breakthrough? If you are giving with a simplicity in your heart and single-mindedness, will you give to get something in return? So you see a lot of us in church give transactionally. You see, giving in church is where you give and you don't expect anything back. Investment is where you give, expecting something back after 15 to 20 days. That's what investment. What do we do as a church? We give, expecting God. So we begin to feel like God owes you. God owes no man. The greatest gift that God owes man, he has given us in Christ. So why do we give? We give because we have a culture of giving received upon becoming believers. Look at 1 John 3, 1. 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. Look at 1 John 3:16. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. How do we see God's love? We see God's love in how he laid down his life. By extension, that is an example for us to follow. Listen to this attentively. Churches of Macedonia, they were in deep poverty. Is that true? That means they had, but they did not have enough. You see what Christian giving is? Christian giving is when those that have enough give to those that don't have enough. Let's say it again. Christian giving is when saints are bound towards the riches of liberality in them who don't have enough materially, but they give from the little enough they have to others who don't have enough. Are we together? We perceive the love of God, how that he laid down his life for us. So we have a template on how to lay our lives down for others. So you see that scripture in James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. You know, we use that scripture for when it's exam time. Like saying you have faith in God, I don't read your book, you will fail. In as much as that is true, but that's not what James was teaching. Yeah, so faith without works is dead. The word dead is the word that means inoperative. So what does that mean? You can't say you have the generosity of God and we don't see it in your works towards others. Hereby perceive with the love of God. He laid his life for us, so we lay our life for others. So the generosity of God we've received in Christ, by extension, we must what? Reciprocate it to other men. Are we here? Are we here? How that he laid his life is an example for us to lay our life. So we that don't have enough would have to give to those that don't have enough. Are we here together? So 2 Corinthians 9 verse 11. Yeah, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. All bountifulness. Is that similar to generosity? Yeah? Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Look at verse 13. Liberal distribution. Look at verse 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subject unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. That word there, liberal, what would that be? Generous? Yeah? Single-mindedness? Simplicity? Beautiful. You are there, right? Now, you hear people say that they become wealthy because they gave. Look at Luke 12 verse 15. You know, sometimes we teach what Jesus never taught, the apostles never taught. Look at Luke 12, 6, 15. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of what? So that means even Jesus dealt with perpetuity in his day. Look at verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, that means what the parable he was saying is this. Let's read together. That part, I see the. Yeah, can you see this word? Yeah, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. The what? The what? Do you see the grace of the Lord? Was it the grace of the Lord that brought forth plentiful? The what? Go to Genesis 26. Genesis 26. Then Isaac sowed in that word there, land. Is it similar to ground? Why did Isaac sow in the land? So that the land can bring forth plentiful. Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Dear saints, if you sow in the land on the ground, are you not expected to receive hundredfold that year? When the harvest season of the plant you planted is full. You know, we use scripture for seed sowing. Isaac sowed in the land, you want to reap 100-fold in 7 days. Supernatural turnaround. Now, do supernatural turnarounds happen? Yes. Both to Christians, Muslims, and atheists. Are we together? Do miracles happen? Yes. Miracles happen to both the Christians and the non-Christians. You know, I told you of a guy who went to do evangelism. You know, I was preaching to one Muslim guy, come and be a Christian. Yeah, we are sons. When you become a Christian, we'll not walk in the economy of the earth. We walk, our ATM is in heaven, our POS is in heaven, all those kind of things. As if when you became born again, somebody gave you a black card. You know what they call black MasterCard? Platinum card. Anywhere you go, just the name on the card is Grace of God. Once you just go anywhere, just pay Grace of God. They will beat you finish. So I was telling the Muslim guy, you know, see, there are sometimes some people you meet on the street. Don't. It's a covetous heart. Don't size people up by how you see them first. You see somebody wearing British pastor, you say, I see that you are struggling with breaking forth. You see somebody that the cloth is not too ironed. I see that I see you're trying to move forward. You are taking forward and something. One guy is what you gotta do for one guy like this. The guy had to finish talking. And if he's talking, what he did? He just opened his bank account, one of his bank accounts, and just showed him. The Christian became crisis. Come to Christianity, there will not be crisis in your life. That's the time that Christian realized he has been in perpetual crisis all his life. And he was born into a Christian house. So don't just see people on the road and just begin to. Don't allow people's look influence your word of knowledge. You know how it's done now? Yeah? You see people in suits. The only policy you see is that I see you about to submit a contract paper. You see, so don't look at people and judge people outside. Are we together? Yeah? So, Isaac sowed in the land. What did he sow in the land? It is when you sow in the land brings harvest. Don't use it for seed sowing. Yeah? Isaac sowed in the land. Read it, in the land, not to a pastor. Are we together? Not to the church. Are you to give to the church? Remember I said something. If you don't give, and you don't give sacrificially and generously, you are abounding towards the riches of stinginess in you. It's not in you. It's in the world. So, go back to Luke 12, verse 16. Jesus gave a parable. Yes, what is the parable? The ground of a certain rich man, yeah, brought forth plentiful. Are we together? You know, people say, I've heard people say that the reason why Bill Gates is rich is because he has a Jewish lineage. You've heard that? Jeff Bezos has a Jewish lineage. God made a covenant with Abraham and everyone that proceeded from you are from where? Sometimes we are ridiculous. Yeah? Jeff Bezos is Jewish. God made a covenant. Ask yourself a question. Is he everybody that is in Israel that is rich? I didn't know that covenant. People of God, you make money by being industrious. Eh? You don't make money by giving. Like I always say, if money is made by giving, nobody should be poor. All you just do is what? You drop everything. All you need for a supernatural turnaround is 500 naira. Once you drop it in 2 days, 5,000. Then you remove 500 from it. That's your initial capital. Right? Then you drop 4-5. When 4-5 now costs 45,000, what do? You remove 5,000. Initial capital. No, people don't get rich by giving. People don't get rich by sowing seed. It's a scam. 5,000 of you, there are 100 of you God wants to bless, but God says you should touch your Isaac. Give your Isaac. God has 5,000 children. He wants to bless 100 out of 5,000. And before he blesses that 100, those 100 must first of all drop their Isaac. Ha! You must first drop your Isaac. And when 100 of you now drop your Isaac, the only 5 of you will come back with testimony. You realize the main 5 of you. They score goal. They use you as score goal. And he spake a parable. The rich man's ground, brought for plenty for verse 17. See what happens. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater barns. And there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. Who is talking? Jesus, a parable. Look at verse 19. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and marry. A rich man, look at verse 20. But God said unto him, what? Thou fool. Riches to God is never riches to man. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Look at verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So was the rich man rich? Was he rich? Who was he rich towards? Men and himself. So men will see him is rich, but was he rich towards God? So riches to man can never be riches to God. So if riches to God is not riches to man, how does God give men riches? You know, we like deceiving ourselves. You know, some of us believe that God gave Solomon riches. You know, Solomon in the history of Israel seems to be one of the worst leaders ever. Why? Because he overtaxed the people. Solomon was a man who was the son of David, who was wealthy king, a wealthy king. He inherited a lot from his father David. You know, if you look at the criteria for kingship in the book of Deuteronomy and, you know, and all of that, you realize that all the rules that Moses gave concerning a king, Solomon defrauded all of them. Think about it. Who in the book of Matthew to Revelation spoke about Solomon's wealth? Mention one apostle or prophet or Jesus. It is from the New Testament books and the epistles we see what riches to God is. So your mind should begin to get there. He was poor that you might be rich. Are you rich? Are you rich? Yes. By faith, huh? Are you materially rich? Not yet. You still have faith. You'll get there. So the ground of a man. You know, so when you hear people say Bill Gates is Jewish, Otodola is where? Nigerian. So we must never allow material things win us. That's what happened in that parable. What was he doing? He was boasting his material things. So when you see someone boasting material things, what who is that person? He is one who has allowed materialism to take over him. You know, so there's some people like that. You know when they have 5,000 naira in their account. There's some people like that. You know when they pay their salary. Let me give you an assignment. Let me give you a clue. You know, from next year, when is January beginning? See how people will rejoice. And check it towards the 3rd to 4th week. Rajagu is laughing like that. Rajagu, why are you laughing? just check. Just say rejoice. First week. Their rejoices only in their mouth. Glory! Their body is not moving. Check it towards the 3rd to 4th week when they're approaching salary payments. As a saint, you shouldn't be like that. When you come to church, you say, Brashego has money today. Brashego has money today. Brashego has money today. What can I do to collect it from him? Yeah, so can physical wealth disappear? Please, let me ask again. Can physical wealth disappear? Where is Solomon's wealth today? So physical wealth can disappear, yeah, but God's wealth is forever. Once you are rich in Christ, you are rich forever. Yeah, a man with proper understanding of eternity will show in his non-amassing of wealth. If you have a proper understanding of eternity, you will not be covetous. Because you realize that one day it will end. What did Jesus say in that parable about the rich man? Go back to verse 20. Look at verse 20. But God said unto him, what? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. What did God call him? What did God call him? Yeah. So, if Jesus calls you fool, can we say that you are well trained to be foolish? I'm just joking, really. But you know the word there, fool, just simply means you are not thinking deep. See, someone who calls you a fool, it's not so much of a big deal. People that want to walk in the flesh. It just simply means you are not thinking deep. Imagine Jesus speaking to people who were quoting Greek for him. Remember, Luke 24. Certain of them went to sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then what did Jesus say unto them? Why did he call them fools? People are not thinking deep. Why did he say they were not thinking deep? Ought not Christ to have suffered and entered into his glory? Yeah? You are supposed to believe the prophet. You were slow of heart to believe what the prophets were speaking. So they are supposed to think deep concerning what the prophet said. All together. What did God say? Oh, fool. You are not thinking deep. Once you begin to think deep and think eternity, it will show in how you amass wealth. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah? Look at now, never forget, what made him rich? What made him rich? Can we say hard work? Can we say farming? Can we teach it and say agriculture? Clear. Look at Mark. Mark 10. Mark 10:17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one man running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What is the question he was asking God, Jesus? What shall I do to inherit eternal life, right? Look at verse 18. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Look at verse 19. Thou knowest the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, honor thy father and mother, verse 20. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Works. Yeah? Look at verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. He has kept all the law. Jesus said, one thing are you lacking in? Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast. He might say, eh? And give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Look at verse 32. And he was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved. See, let's use this one as figure of speech. He ran away, for he had great possession. If this man knew that to get wealthy is by giving, it will not be hard for him to give. If he saw giving as a principle to be wealthy, what will he say? Look at verse 23. And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? See, materialism is a grip that holds the hearts of people. Covetousness is a firm grip that captures the leg of people. They have captured your heart, consumed your heart with covetousness. Yeah? Look at verse 24. And the disciples, you know, I always tell you, covetousness is even seen in our prayer point. Somebody is in church. Your prayer point is, God, bless me to bless others. He looks innocent, but it's covetous. Why don't you say, God, bless others and bless me? Because you have an attitude of tyranny. You want to be one who is seen as giving. You not come to touch with your lace. What is it? What are your needs? My email, just give your card. My email is this. Yeah? And you now start sharing testimony. God bless you to be a blessing to others. Money has a spirit. Money, that's why you call money currency. It flows. And it is meant to flow. Unfortunately for us in Nigeria, we don't allow money to flow. We make it ours. Hallelujah. Look at it. Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Verse 25. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Is he saying he should not be rich at all? What is just saying? It is what? What does it mean for it is easier for... for? Okay, we'll pay attention to that next year. Look at verse 26. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Verse 27. And Jesus looking upon them, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Dear saints, when he says with God all things are possible, would be in reference to everything on earth? He just told you, it's impossible for a camel to enter the eye of a needle. Figurative expression. So what seems impossible will be possible. What is that? Let's do that next day. Well, do you get that? Do you get little I just said? I don't want to pay attention to that today. So the rich ruler, Jesus asked to give to the poor. What did he do? He ran away. He didn't say, did Jesus tell him give to become richer? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Because in the real sense, the riches that you will get in giving is riches unto Christ. True? True? What he called entering the kingdom of God. What he called being a partaker of the kingdom of God. We'll pay attention to that next year. Yeah? So, people become rich by industry. It can be negative, it can be positive. What are you to do? Eh? Don't say all. People get rich by industry. It can be negative, it can be positive. Are you supposed to do negative industry? But you know, stealing is an industry. You don't know. Stealing is an industry, it's a big industry. So you can be rich by project management, you can be rich by buying and selling, you can be rich by what? So many other ways, but not by giving. Are we together? See, you cannot, let me say this again, you cannot be rich by speaking in tongues. Yeah?
Lago. That Lago said, be in it. Lago out. Go out and walk. You cannot be rich by speaking in tongues. Very soon, your tongues will begin to tell. Yeah? Your tongues will begin to sound like English. Yeah? So, write this down. Don't give under emotional compulsion. It's a waste of time and emotion. I'll say that again. Don't give under emotional compulsion. It's a waste of time and emotions. Let me tell you, I was guilty of that years back. So, I've seen people say, all things are mine. All things are mine. Look at something very interesting. Now, everybody here, finish writing. Has everybody finished writing? Everybody here, look at me, everybody look at me. Please, I beg you, close your Bible. Just close your Bible. Everybody look at me. Just close your Bible and look at me. I want to ask you a very godly, sincere question. Please, why should you give 500 naira and expect 50 million? Please, why? Why should a man stand in front of you, yeah, and say that God wants to turn your life around between now and December 31st, but make sure you come and sow to connect and you run there? Why are you expecting? There's no investment firm in Nigeria, in the world, that you drop 500 naira and you'll get 50 million. Not one. No, not one. Not one. You know, but because we've been taught in a covetous lifestyle, covetous manner, we hear things like, what God, God is the father of the earth. God is the creator of the universe. Your father is your father. You call him daddy, say daddy. See, if you like, speak for ne from now till tomorrow. It's only covetousness that will make you drop $1,000. Look at it. Why should somebody read Psalm 24 and say drop $2,400? What? And you are in Nigeria. Why didn't you use Naira? It's covetousness. Are we together? So let me go back to what I was saying. Yeah? So we are not to overstretch ourselves to do what nobody sent us to do. So when Jesus said, with men it is impossible, with God it is possible, what is he really speaking about? He's speaking about the possibility of being a saint. Yeah? Possibility of being a saint. Now, let's pay attention to something. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's do that before we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. I want us to read collectively. Verse 2. Verse 3. Verse 4, let's read louder. Verse 5. Verse 6, louder, please. What grace is he talking about? The grace of them abounding towards their joy, abundance of joy, and riches of liberality. Clear? Verse 7. What is this grace also?
liberality. Grace of what? The riches, or grace of abounding towards the riches of liberality. Look at verse 8. So, recognizing the grace on the churches of Macedonia is a proof of the sincerity of their love. Is that true? In that they did not have enough, but they gave to those that did not have enough. Now look at the next verse. 1, 2, 3, go! Hold on, dear saints. Where on earth was Jesus rich? Let me ask it again. Was there any portion of the Bible where you say Jesus was wealthy in material riches? Is it in your Bible? Is it in your Bible? So when it says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was what? Rich. He, for your sake, he became poor." Now, was Jesus rich? What riches was it? Spiritual riches. So he became poor. Is that material poverty? So when he says he was rich, that you may be through his poverty, that you might be rich, what would be the riches you receive? It cannot be physical riches. Hold your thoughts there. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Please pay attention to this part of the teaching, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." What are holy scriptures here? Genesis 2. Malachi, which are able to what? Make thee wise unto salvation. That means scriptures are to make you wise unto salvation. That means when you read Genesis, what should be the focus of your mind? Answer. Salvation. When you read Exodus, remember on last 2 weeks, when we met Malachi, yeah? Titan, do we see salvation from Titan? Yeah? Do we see that? Yeah? So who was to bring the tithe? Jesus was to bring himself, right? As a tithe. Remember that teaching? Remember the first fruits? So it means that when you are reading Genesis to Malachi, the wisdom you should get from Genesis to Malachi is regarding what? Salvation. So it means that when you read Genesis, Malachi, you should see salvation. A good way to know you've read properly is seeing the end goal as what? Beautiful. Go to Luke 24, verse 25. "Then Jesus said unto them," let's read together, 1, 2, 3, go. Next verse. So was this what the prophets were speaking? Christ was to suffer and enter into his glory. Is that true? Yeah. What did Jesus now do to explain to them? Look at verse 27. "And beginning at," what is beginning at? Moses, the writings, beautiful, "and the prophets," right? "He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Are we together? Go to verse 44. We're getting somewhere. "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you." What is that? Before his crucifixion. Right? Right? Yeah? "That the things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses," writings of Moses, is that true? "And in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." So it means that we must go back and read the prophets, the writings of Moses, and the Psalms, and see it points to Christ. Remember that teaching on "this is the Lord's doing"? Is that a lesson outside? Remember that teaching? What's the Lord's doing? Resurrection. Right? Now go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 14. Never forget, when you are reading scriptures, what should it make you wise unto? Never forget that. Ecclesiastes 9:14. Look at this. "There was a little city and few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it." There was a little city. Yeah? There was another city. Yeah? And the other city was a bigger city. Yeah? And the bigger city had a great king. And the great king built great bulwarks against it. Look at verse 15. "Now there was found in it a poor wise man." There was found in the little city a poor wise man. When you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, when it says you read scriptures, where should your mind go to? Salvation. So when you see there was a poor wise man, where should your mind go to? He was poor that he might be rich. Hold on. There was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. What city did he deliver? The little city. How did he deliver? His wisdom. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Look at verse 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Remember, the wisdom of God is foolishness to men. Why would men see wisdom and despise it? Because it is foolishness to them. So when you see there was a little city that had a poor wise man, who is the poor wise man? Jesus. Right? Hold your thoughts there. Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10 tells you what? How that you see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in that he was poor, that you might be rich. So, can we say the riches that we have is in the fact that he delivered little city? Are we there? Go back to verse 15. Now there was found in that city a poor wise man, and he... So, there was found in that, so that means the parable in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 points to the work of Christ. We read it in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. From a child thou hast known the holy scripture, which are able to make you what? Wise. That word there, wise, means skillful concerning salvation. So, when you read Ecclesiastes, where should your mind go to? Salvation. So, there was a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom... Go to 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians quickly. Look at 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians 19. 1 Corinthians 1, 19. Now, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God that by the what? Foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. Now, what is the wisdom of the poor wise man? He brought deliverance to the city. Why did men despise him? Because his wisdom was foolishness to them. Look at it again. For after that, in the wisdom of God, by wisdom knew not God. Look at verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Look at verse, chapter 3, verse 19. Yeah, 3, verse 19. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. One 25. Go back there. Now, let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. So, when you say the foolishness of God is wiser than men, that's a figure of speech, right? Metonymy. Remember that teaching? Yeah, when one's name is mentioned in an activity, but the person is totally absent from the activity. For instance, the wrath of God. The wrath of God is a figure of speech that God is not present in. Yeah, so when you say, because the foolishness of God, is it saying that God is foolish? So where is the foolishness of God found? In the hearts of men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. Is he saying that God is weak? No, it's a figure of speech. Yeah? Where is the weakness of God found? In the heart of men. So, the weakness of God, so man would have thought that God's strength would be seen in the fact that Jesus just appeared, bam, Israel. Where are they that hate me? Many have compassed me. For the Lord will deliver me. Where are they? Yeah, so to man, that is strength. Is that true? So, what did God do? God now came in the form of a man, killed by the men he created, and died for 3 days. To man, what is that? Foolishness and weakness. Because people thought that the strength of God should be seen. Boom. Where is the strength of God seen? In what is foolishness to man? Are we together? So man would have thought Jesus that will redeem the world will come like a monster, 12 feet tall. And he go to the land of the grave and do up. Everybody will stand up. And you not say anybody that believe in the fact that I do like this, boom, up. Everybody is alive, is born again. But what did he do? In the meekness. Oh, glory to God. Yeah. In the meekness of it all, in his submission to be killed by men, is a demonstration of God's power. Look at Ephesians 1. Look at Ephesians 1 quickly. Ephesians 1 verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Look at verse 19. Quickly. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word? How did God demonstrate his power towards you? In the fact that he was killed by men, and he resurrected on the third day. That in itself is God's demonstration of power. What did man think? So, man did not think that God will come as a lamb. They thought God will come as a lion. But let me tell you, God is not the lion of the tribe of Judah. Are we together? So when you think is the lion and the lamb, you are singing in ignorance. Lion has to do with strength, wild. But that is what? In the heart of men. That is strength. But to God, the strength to God is what? In the fact that he died. If God is the lion and the lamb, you see, a lot of us just like that lion part because we want God to fight for us. Let God arise. Let his enemies. Have we done a teaching on that last week? Yeah, what does let God arise mean? Let him resurrect from the dead. All together, what does let his enemies be scattered? Let those that did not think he will rise again be dumbfounded. So, let God arise. You know, Jesus, you know, Jesus is, he has the lamp side, he has the lion side. Anytime I'm his child, I can decree, Jesus, God, come and fight for me. Then God will switch. You watch X-Men. Too much cartoon. God will switch. And like that, you know, the one who's clothed with fire. God is not the lion and the lamb. He just said, behold the lamp of the world that takes away the sins. God, men thought God would come as a lion to take away sins. But God came as a lamp. A lamp who opened not his mouth to the mouth of the sharer, he was killed. To men, they would have thought, God, as they just forgive Jesus, we just do like this. And we just do, bah, the hawk. Everybody around will just start flying. And he will now start walking, ancient of days, as old as I am. That is strength to you. So, strength to God. Let me see. Strength to a believer is not when he what? Slaps somebody that slaps him. Yeah? Strength is seen when somebody offends you and you can forgive. That's strength. They slap you, I slap you back. Pastor, I walked in the flesh, but I had to. You know, some of us say we don't have self-control. It's not true. Somebody asked me a question. Pastor, he said the devil has his heart. I said, devil doesn't have your heart. You're a believer. He said, I gave him an example. I said, if you are about to meet a lady in a room, yeah, and as you are about, after every word, you about your bad, she has about it, yeah, and you hear Boko Haram, baba. The only thing that will make me know devil is in control of you is if you continue. But if you can stop and run, you are in control. You are in control of yourself. So, Pastor, I don't have self-control. Pastor, pray for me. He said, like you have. They're not paying attention to it. It takes life challenges to bring self-control out of you. It's like our mothers. When we're small, when you go for party, they'll look at you. Hey, sister, how are you? But they're talking to you, don't eat that rice. You know, when we're growing up, most of our, every party we go for, they don't want the best of us. Everybody wants to poison us. So when we go for party, we must not eat anyhow. But then they'll be eating chicken and malt. No. My parents are not like that. I didn't grow up going for parties actually. But I know about it. Yeah? Mom? And just like this. What's just like this? Just finish eating. But what you hear at home is, you drag all the mud, they do like this for you. I know some children are like that. When you do like this for them, they do like this for you. So, when your mom says that, she doesn't, I want to discipline you. No, your mom has self-control. Because when you grow up and you're now 25, your mom do like this for you, do like this. Your mom do like this, I'll be you too, you do like this. What will happen? Your mom will step back. So all the time she was flogging you. Because weakness is when you see someone who you can clearly oppress, you now oppress the person. So self-control is inherent in you. It just requires life to bring out the self-control in you. Are we together? So the strength of God is seen in his what? Self-control. So, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his powerful power? Look at verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him. So the greatest demonstration of God's power is seen in the raising of Christ. Are we together? Look at Philippians 2. Look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. What is the mind? Verse 6. Who being in the form of God? Can we say who was rich? Who being in the form of God? Can we put into bracket who was rich? Yes. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That means he had the opportunity to consider himself as God, but he did not consider it. Look at verse 7. But made himself of no reputation. Is that he was poor? Yes, now. He was God. He made himself of no reputation. As God, he is rich. What did he do? He made himself of no reputation and took upon himself a form of a servant. What is that? He was poor. So if that is the poverty he made, what will be the riches to give you the life that he had before he became poor? So his poverty is that without reputation. What is his riches? He was God. He is equal to his God. Thomas said, Jesus, show us the Father. What did Jesus say? Have you seen me? And you are asking for the Father? What did prophecy in Isaiah 9:6 say? Unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born. Unto us a son is given, a child is born. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Jesus is God. So Jesus as God is rich. Rich not in material things. Rich in his person. What is his poverty? He who knew no sin was made sin. He was made of no reputation. And he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. That's poverty. Hallelujah. That's poverty. Look at verse 8. Being found in the fashion as man. That's poverty. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. That is the death of the cross. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2:10. So what is poverty? He who was divine, he who was a divine mighty God, became a mortal man. Right? Yeah? He became a mortal man. So in your humanity is poverty. Yes? In your humanity is poverty. So a man might have 20 billion in his account, but he's not saved. He's poor. Why? Because he has not received God's riches. So, for it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons, yeah, unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through what? Sufferings. Poverty. Look at verse 17. So wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. Is that poverty? When divinity takes on humanity. Right? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So in the real sense, his poverty would mean his sufferings. Yes? What is the glory? The glory as of what? That of the Father. So Jesus is the Father who took upon the flesh so that he can bring you who was poor in humanity become what? Divine. So how are you rich? Eternal life. Righteousness. So, when you remember Ecclesiastes chapter 9, there was a poor, wise man. Now, look at it. Let me ask a question that will answer your questions. When God became Jesus to die for the sins of man, was that God's wisdom of bringing you into sonship? Yes? So, is that a poor, wise man? So, God became poor in the form of humanity, yet in the being poor was his what? Wisdom. What did he do with that poverty and wisdom? He delivered the little city. So what will be the great king of the great city? The enemy. Are we together? Go back to 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8:10. So all we have as in divinity, all we have in the resurrection is what made us rich. So verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we put into bracket the poor wise man? That though he was rich, what is his riches? Divinity. He was equal to God. He is God. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. That's riches. Yet for your sake, he became poor. What does he mean? He became a man. That ye through his poverty, what is his poverty? He God in man who died for man. And he rose as a man. So we give praise to God in man who died for man. So God becoming man is poverty. Look at it. That through his poverty, he might be rich. Dear saint, what riches will he be? Will it be riches of material things or riches of spirit? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what is the wealth of the saints? Christ. Look at Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 11, 20, 24. Hebrews 4. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at 25. Choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sins for a season. Verse 26. Esteeming what? The reproach of Christ as greater riches. So there's riches of the earth, there's greater riches. The moment you rejoice over money, more than the riches that God has bestowed upon you, you are one who hasn't understood the gospel. Moses had the option of holding on to the riches of Egypt. At the time of Moses, was Jesus made flesh? So Moses by faith heard the gospel and believed. You by faith, you by faith, you by faith and reality. Jesus has become, you can trace it to history that Jesus was a man. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So Moses considered the riches of Christ as greater riches. It is shameful to your God who gives you riches that other men can get without him. Think about it. Think about it. God came to give you job as his riches. Yet men can get better jobs. In fact, the man that is paying you your salary is not a Christian. Our God is weak. The miracles happen, yes, to both Christians and non-Christians. You must find it in your place. You have to believe. So, man, what did Christ come to do? He came to give mankind that singular thing that no other man can have without him. So anything that man can have without being a Christian, it is not part of the work of Christ. So if you bought a car last week, yes, and a man could buy that car without being a Christian, then that car is not part of what Christ died for. Are we together? Are we together? If you bought an estate, and there are men who bought estate or have estates bigger than that estate, it's shameful for Christ to come
take on the form of man, to die to give man things that men could have or men can have. Even those that insult God every day, they have it. No, the only thing he did was that thing, or is that thing, that no man before his coming could have, except by faith, and no man after his coming can have, except by faith. So what do you have that a rich man that has 1 billion doesn't have? It is what? You have his riches. What is riches? Righteousness. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, glory to God, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, all things have become new. Yeah, next verse. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us by himself, or to himself by Jesus Christ. How did that reconciliation happen? By the poor wise man who delivered the little city. Ecclesiastes 9. And he had given unto us ministry of reconciliation. Look at verse 21. When we're reading that he became poor that he might be rich, is he in 2 Corinthians? Chapter 8, right? So you must have read chapter 5 before chapter, say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5, 6, before 8. Yeah, so look at verse 21. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What is he made him who knew no sin to be sin? He made him to be poor, that he might be rich. What is the riches? Righteousness. The riches that God gives to mankind is the riches of liberality found in his son. The riches of his grace. Hallelujah. Look at John 14. God gave mankind his glory. So, remember Philippians 2. He who was equal to God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation. That means he put his glory aside. Hallelujah. Look at John 14. John 17:4. So it's not like Jesus had financial crashes. When Jesus was born, he's the King of Kings. Yeah, they gave birth to him in manger, where they are giving birth to animal. What did God do to the earth? He created the earth and made man to be in charge of the earth. So whatever man does with the earth is what man will reap from the earth. We have more stingy men than less generous men. So even if everybody is a Christian from now, not everybody will be rich. There will be those that will die poor in Christ, but they are rich in what? Christ. What is the riches? They are righteous forever. They are pure. They are holy. They are sanctified. They are blameless, justified, acceptable in the beloved. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me. Look at verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Are we here? Look at verse 24. 17:24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So Jesus had a glory. He put the glory aside to come and live amongst his brethren. So men killed him, and in killing him, they thought it was weakness, but it was strength made manifest. So upon resurrection, we see what God's riches is given to a man who believes the gospel. Not money, not car. I'm joint heirs with the son. The earth belongs to me. Go on, come and carry my car. Let me not deck you. In Christ, sorry, that's figure of speech. Decking will be forgive. So there was a glory he had. He put the glory aside. In putting the glory aside, that's poverty. So remember that teaching, God's rich man. Yeah? So you are God's rich man. What are the riches? The riches of his glory. Ah, glory. Look at Ephesians 1. Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 verse 8, verse 19. Look at verse 20. Ephesians 1, 20. He who had no reputation. Put it for verse 19. Yeah. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us words who believe according to the working of mighty power. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. Verse 21. Far above principalities and power and might and dominion for every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. Look at chapter 2, verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship,
created in Christ, who was the poor wise man. Is that true? Yeah? Created in Christ, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Jesus had a glory, yeah, but he traded all of those glories so that we can become partakers of the same glory. So, where are we now? We are seated in heavens in Christ. That's riches. Yeah? Look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. So, Christ is the riches of the saints. Let me say this. Christ is the wealth of the saints. Christ is the wealth of the saints. So, are you rich? Yes and no. What we do is that we don't draw that line. We make the one for that which is of Christ. We try to farm it together with natural wealth. You ask some people, are you rich? Say, oh yeah, Christ died to redeem me from sins and poverty. Yeah? Yeah, poverty is redeemed. I'm redeemed from poverty. It's a lack of. First of all, you cannot even sit down to think about the world at large. How many people have believed that thing you are believing before you were born and yet died poor? What makes you unique? The grace. Eh? It's the grace. Look what he now says. I cease not to pray for you in verse 17 that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's why we keep praying Ephesians 1:18. Because the riches of God in man that is a believer is worth more than your mind can comprehend. That's what Paul says. I cease not to pray for you that your eyes of understanding being enlightened. Why? That you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is what? The riches of the glory of his inheritance. Where? In the saints. So, what did Moses say? Lord, show me your glory. You know that song? Show me your glory. He has made us to be partakers of God's glory. We have a divine nature. We are born of God forever. We have the riches of his glory in the inheritance in the saints. So, we have an inheritance of riches. So, when you become born again, you receive that inheritance. Material or spiritual? Hallelujah. Never waggle that line. Think about it. Christ died to redeem. Look at it. People say that Adam sinned. And Adam, that was when Adam became poor. Please, when Adam and Eve were the only people on earth and they sinned, the main things on earth, who were they for? Before they gave birth to Cain and Abel, who were they for? When did Adam become poor? When did Cain become poor? Cain that built a full city. So when you say Christ died for your poverty to be riches, you must realize that the poverty has to do what? Humanity and divinity. Not money. Not money. Not money. Else, no Christian should be poor. Else, no Christian should be poor. It should just be as long as you just hear the gospel, you just believe, I believe. The campus just allowed, boom, $10 billion. God will now tell you, that's part of your inheritance, dear saints. More is coming. For the glory of the latter. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Yeah, see, that's why a lot of us sweat by teaching us on this, but we are sweating in error. One of the most delusive things I believed in my heart, one of the most insincere things I believed being a Christian, is that Christ died for riches. It is too ridiculous to believe. What? Now that I know better, I look at it like, what was wrong with him? What was wrong with me? Who was doing me? Christ died of poverty. Yet. I'm not going into details. Are we together? So, are you rich? Yes. Rich unto what? Things spiritual. Now, let's end in 1 Timothy 6:17. 6 verse 17. Look at what Paul tells Timothy. Remember in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, servants. Yeah, so he spoke to servants. That means in a church, you are to have servants and masters. Yeah? So, let me ask a question. Who chooses for you which one you become? How are you saying that by your parents? You know, there's people they rather be born outside the country. You ask them, if they come back in this world again, may I not be in Nigeria? Ideally, it should be you that chooses to be a servant or a master. But because of covetousness in the hearts of people, what you are to enjoy freely together, some harass it. Look at what Paul tells Timothy. Paul is writing a letter to the bishop of Ephesus. See what he says. Charge them that are rich in this world. What is rich in this world? Material possession. So that means they are the them that are rich in material possession of this world. How did they get it? By the activities of the world. That they be not high-minded. We read an example of this today. What story is that? Luke 12, the certain rich man. He was what? High-minded. How did he become rich? By the world's activities. So he became rich by the world's activities. That they be not high-minded. Now what? So was he trusting his riches? Yeah, so not trust in the, what did he call it? So money is uncertain riches. But not to trust in the uncertain riches, but in the living God. That means the living God himself is the certain riches. When you say don't trust in uncertain riches, it means that you should trust in certain riches. What did he say you should trust in? The living God. See what he now says, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy? Dear saint, pay attention to this. Read, remember the Bible was written in chapters and verses. Can we have verse 17 and 18 in one page? Is it possible? Thank you. So, we must read chapter, verse 17 into verse 18. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Beautiful. So, charge them who are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good. That they be rich in good works. So, what is the all things God has given unto us? To be rich in good works. What is 2 Corinthians 8 call it? Riches of their liberality. Are you there? Are you there? So, rich in good works, that they be rich in good works, ready to what? Distribute and willing to communicate. Who is he speaking to? Beautiful. Charge them who are rich. They should not be high-minded in this world, but they should be what? Willing to distribute and what? Ready to communicate. So, you see God's grace in the ability to give. You don't need the grace of God to amass wealth. Look at verse 19, quickly. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So it means that riches to God is seen in your willingness to distribute and readiness to communicate. Are we here this morning? Are we here this morning? So every saint has the riches of liberality in him or her. So we see the grace of God in you, not in how many cars you buy per week or how many estates you own, but in how well you can give, ready to distribute what, and willing to what? Communicate. That is riches to God. Are we together? So he became poor that you might be rich, rich in righteousness and also rich in liberality. So a saint whose hand is like this is one who is not paying attention to what? The joy found in him or her and the riches found in him or her, which is reference to what? Generosity, liberality, simplicity, single-mindedness. You tell me and say, I'm born of God. Say with the conviction, I'm born of God. I'm born of God. Material things don't have a possession of me. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 quickly. Let's end there. So that will give a teaser of what we are doing on Wednesday. 2 Corinthians 9. He gives seed to the sower. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 11. Look at verse 12. Look at this. Look at this. Now, remember the teaching on seed? What was seed used to teach? Christ. Yeah, so bringing forth fruit after his own kind. Genesis 1. Yeah, 11. Yeah, except a seed of wheat falls to the ground, it abided not alone. So when you see seed in the Bible, seed has consistently been what? Either what you plant on the ground or what? Jesus Christ. So for the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. What is the seed? Christ. Go out and count the stars, so shall your seed be. Abraham, what is the seed? Christ. So when you see seed, the consistency has been from Genesis. So when you see, now he that ministers seed to the sower, yeah, both ministers bread for you. When you see seed, when you see bread, who is the bread of life? Who is the seed of God? So what has he given you? The seed of God and the bread of life. What is that? It's riches. So the riches of God is the seed that he gave you and the bread that he gave you. In that seed he has given you, there is generosity, liberality, simplicity, and single-mindedness. So this scripture is not saying that God puts your money in your pocket, the money he wants you to sow. Are we together? Lift your hand, say, I'm born of God. I'm born of his seed. I've eaten the bread of life. I give freely. I give generously. I give as an end in itself. Hallelujah.